Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Food Network Obsessed, the podcast where we dish on all things Food Network with your favorite Food Network talent. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and I hope you guys are ready because we have one of my favorites on the podcast today. You may know her from her signature platinum blonde hair or as the red team leader on Worst Cooks in America, which she has been for the past 21 seasons. Today, we are talking to Anne Burrell. But before I get to my interview with Anne, wanted to share with you guys what I did this past weekend and, more importantly, what I ate. My boyfriend Justin and I had a chance to go up to Urban Cowboy Lodge up in the Catskills. It was snowing. It was like this perfect winter wonderland, and just got to kind of create some images for the hotel. And they just recently launched their food program. Their new chef is Damian Frankie. He previously worked at Trout Beck, a resort upstate as well, and also at La Conda Verde in New York City. And I'm so excited about what they are doing up there, you guys. I have to tell you about this chicken sandwich that I had. I am a sucker for a fried chicken sandwich. If I see that on a menu, I am most likely ordering it. But this one was really special. So the chicken is brined in pickle juice, which I love. In fact, I have a container of pickle juice in my fridge right now that Justin almost threw out, and I freaked out at him. I was like, no, I need that. And he's like, why is there a pickle juice container in here with no pickles? And I said, I'm saving it for a chicken brine. Anyways, this chicken sandwich is brined in pickle juice. It has this whole grain mustard aioli, big fat pickles, almost bordering on too thick, but I actually love getting like a big bite of pickle with that crispy fried chicken. Oh, and it's also served on a potato sesame seed bun, which is like one of my favorite, you know, buns, I guess. Can you have a favorite bun? I do. It is a perfect bite. And it was just, I mean, obviously, I'm just drooling over it, thinking about it again. But everything that we tried was really fantastic. They are starting their indoor dining this weekend for guests only. And hopefully in the future, you can make a reservation even if you are not staying at the lodge. The schnitzel is really good as well. Can you tell I like fried proteins? Anyways, it was a wonderful little escape, little getaway from the city, a nice way to refresh as well. And I know Anne Burrell is a fan of all things upstate as well. She spent quarantine up there. So let's dive into my interview with Anne. Anne, welcome to the pod. I am so pumped to be reunited with you. For our listeners who don't know, we first met on the set of Beat Bobby Flay. We instantly hit it off over our love of cats and sports. We had grand plans of going to a Rangers game together, but, you know, COVID kind of put a damper on that. So I'm just putting it out there on the record. We need to get a redo of that Rangers game at some point, you know, down the road in the future. Are you game for that?
Absolutely. And I'm so bummed that I've not gotten to see any Rangers games thus far this season.
I know.
I'm like, I can't wait till hockey really comes back to you being able to see it in person. I miss it.
Well, I was checking out, you know, your social media, and I noticed that, you know, in your bio across all of your socials, it says you are a spreader of sparkles and smiles and a perpetual optimist. Having met you in person, I can attest to that. And I also noticed that you always are showing your gratitude, you know, with your work, your life. You always have hashtag lucky girl and love what I do in all of your posts. Your energy is truly infectious. So I'm wondering where that sense of perpetual optimism comes from.
Well, I mean, I think it started a bunch of years ago when I actually truly decided like what my career path would be. And I mean, it all started with an epiphany one day when I was 23 years old and I was walking and I remember every single thing about the moment, like what I was wearing, what I'm doing, what time it was, what the sky looked like. And it was just, I was like, I decided to go to culinary school, and ever since then, I have never looked back. Like, yes, of course, like everyone, I've had career ups and downs, but never have I ever been in doubt of where my career was taking me or that. And so I feel so lucky to be able to make a living at what is my passion. And then on top of that, be able to share it with so many people. You know, like when I see the worst cooks coming into boot camp, and they really are the worst cooks, but then you see the journey that they take, and I take this journey with them every single time, every season, to see how much better they get and how much better they feel when they're in the kitchen and all of that. Like, it truly makes me love what I do even more and feel like a truly lucky girl that I get to share it with people.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Amazing. And I'm so glad you brought up Worst Cooks in America. 21st season, streaming now on Discovery Plus. When you're watching it, I mean, it's something that you can't look away from. I'll put it that way. A lot of mistakes happening, but a lot of learning happening as well. But they really do seem to struggle in the kitchen, especially early on, to the point that it's a comedy, you know, at some points. But tell us the honest truth. Like, are they really that bad when they show up?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. They really are that bad. And I mean, it's sort of like when people stop me on the street or whatever, it's the number one question people always ask me. And I'm like, oh no, we don't have to fake any of that. And it is comical, but it, to me, it's comical in a way that, like, these people know that they are bad and come to boot camp to get better. It's kind of like get better by sort of tough love torture almost. But what we ask them to do is incredibly difficult. But you see these people really put their heads down and get better. But I mean, the stuff that I have seen people do to food in boot camp, oh my gosh. And it's also one of my very favorite things on the first day of a new season when I have a new co-host. And like, they really, I mean, I can try to explain it to them, but they really have no idea just how bad it is until they get in there and see it with their own eyes. And they're just like, oh my gosh. And they look at me, every single host does this, and looks at me and says, and what have you gotten me into? So I'm always like, please still be my friend after this. And do you need a hug?
Well, speaking of your co-host this season, Carla Hall, she joins the show. I actually love watching both of you together because she also has an infectious personality. And to your point, like, your guys' reactions throughout the season are hilarious. What was it like working with her?
Well, Carla is just delightful. I mean, she's fun, she's kooky, and she gets the teaching part of it where it's not, yeah, we do all of the games and that kind of stuff, which are fun, but all of the games always have a purpose, like a teaching purpose to them. So it's sort of what I kind of like to describe as passive aggressively teaching people that, oh, they're having fun, but they're also like learning a little bit of something as well. And, you know, Carla is just so delightful, and she really got into the games and everything as well. And she is a really good teacher. And I mean, she's just fun. So we had a great time together.
It definitely showed on screen and at home as you're watching it. You're a great teacher as well, though, and you've mentored a lot of winning contestants from worst place to first place. So what's your secret to getting these contestants to the top?
Well, I mean, I sort of go at it with a two-pronged approach. Is one, you know, people sometimes are like, oh my gosh, Chef Anne's so scary and she's really tough. And it's like, yes, I am. Because I truly believe in my heart that these people can do this. And yes, I am tough, but I also care so much about seeing people do better. And it's like, I realize that everything that we ask them to do, you know, to be away from their families and you know, in times of shooting and COVID, they had to be away for an extra 2 weeks to quarantine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole thing is a super stressful environment with very long days. So it's my mission to make sure that these people get the very most out of it that they possibly can. And then on the flip side, when I'm teaching, I really truly try to teach people the why we do things and to connect the dots. So it's not just teaching recipes, it's actually really teaching cooking techniques. And I take things for, at least in the initial time when I'm teaching people, I take things out of cooking terms because people don't understand that. Like, if people ask me to go to their job and do their job in that vernacular, I would have no idea how to even get started. So I try to explain what we're doing, why we're doing it, and then put the name to it so they can be like, oh, all right, I get it. And it usually takes a few times of explaining the same thing over and over. I have to have a lot of patience. But it's also then when I see people have what I like to call the light bulb moments, which is when they use the information that I've taught them all by themselves, it makes me feel like a proud mama. And I'm just like, oh, look at my little baby birds. And then I can eventually push them out of the nest and see them fly.
Oh, I love that. I'm sure it's rewarding for like both sides, for you and for them. And I can only imagine just, you know, the skills and the knowledge that they take away from being on a season of the show. For anyone out there listening that maybe feels like they are a horrible cook, where would you suggest they start as far as like trying to develop some of those skills you're talking about?
Well, it's really funny because whenever I ask people that are recruits on Worst Cooks, I'm like, well, what happens when you try to follow a recipe? And they look at me like I'm absolutely bonkers, which we all know I am. but they look at me like, what do you mean a recipe? And I just think, I look back at them and I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I mean, like, if I know I don't know how to do something or to go somewhere, I find directions. Like, so we have to think of a recipe is a set of directions on how to make a dish. So, I mean, I tell people, if you want to make a roasted chicken, for instance, Google, how do I roast a chicken? I mean, there is a lot of information out there on how to roast a chicken or any recipe. And so find the recipe, read it before you start, because there's always like, you know, and sometimes in recipes where you'll just like read the ingredients and you're like, I got this. And then you get through and you're like, okay, now put the short ribs in the oven for 3 hours. And you're like, 3 hours? Dinner's supposed to be in 20 minutes, you know, kind of stuff. So like read the recipe so you have a good understanding of where you're going before you start. Get out all of your ingredients and make sure you have enough of everything. Don't assume that you have like, you know, oh, I've got breadcrumbs, and then you open the container of breadcrumbs and you have a quarter of a cup in there and you need like 3 cups or something. Because then people start to get creative and it's like, huh, I wonder if I can substitute bread for breadcrumbs, or I wonder if powdered sugar would work instead of regular sugar. And it's like, no. So it's like, get out all of your ingredients, make sure you have enough of everything, and then do all your prep work first, like, you know, cut all your onions or do whatever you need to do to get all of that done before you start cooking. So then you can kind of clean as you go, you keep things uncluttered, and then you can just use all of your mise en place or your prep work that you have, and it makes cooking so much more enjoyable. And it's not like this frantic, you know, like, oh my God, what am I doing next, you know, kind of stuff. And then you can go along in a nice, easy way, and you don't finish and your kitchen is a disaster and, you know, a pile of dishes in your sink, and you're like, I thought cooking at home was supposed to be, you know, relaxing and easier. And if you cook like that, it won't be. But if you cook, you know, what I call the mise en place method, like do all your prep work and all that stuff first and then start cooking, it's so much more just, I mean, that's how I have to do it. And I can't stand a dirty or a messy, cluttered area because it makes my mind cluttered. So, you know, just do those like few basic steps. And it's like, it's so funny because when I was a kid and cooking, my mom used to tell me all of that and I would never really do it. And then things would run amok, obviously. And so every time I say that, I'm like, oh, my mother's, I love her to death, but oh, she's always right.
She was right. I know. That's the worst thing when you have to admit that. Ah, mom was right.
Aren't moms always right?
You've mentored every season of Worst Cooks. I'm curious if you have a favorite, like all-time favorite memory from the show.
Oh my gosh, there are so many. I mean, just when I see people doing, you know, like using the information that I've taught them is always so amazing to me. There was one winner actually a few years ago, this woman named Hazel, and she was a single mom and she was starting to, like right after she finished Worst Cooks, like a couple of days afterwards, she was moving her whole family to Binghamton, New York. York to start her master's degree in social work. And, you know, like times were really tough for her. But since then, she finished her master's degree. She's now a social worker. She's written a book. She's gone on to be like successful in her life. And, you know, I hear from her periodically, like, you know, along the holidays or something. And just, you know, it's so nice that people keep in touch with me. And I've heard from a lot of recruits over the, you know, course of quarantining and stuff, you know, celebrities and regular people, civilians, we call them, celebrities and civilians alike, saying, oh my gosh, thank God I did Worst Cooks, because now during this time when no one can go anywhere, I can cook at home. And it's really, that is the reason that I love the show so much. Because yes, it's silly, it's goofy, people start off terribly, but they get better, and it really changes lives. Like, it's, they take, you know, what they've learned back to their families and their kids. And so then they create those memories for their families, and they get the joy that I feel when I cook for other people. So those, I mean, all of those reasons are reasons that I love Worst Cooks so much.
I love hearing those kind of stories, and I would love to hear, you know, your story, because we see these people, you know, finding their interest in cooking throughout the show. Where did your love of cooking begin?
Well, it started when I was a kid. My mom swears that because of Julia Child, I was, that's why I became a chef. I mean, when I was three, I went to my mom and said, Mom, I have a friend named Julie. And she said, you do? Who? And I said, Julie Child. I watch her every day on TV. So I feel like if I can do that for even one kid, I've won. So, and my mom was also a great cook. And I grew up in a little tiny town in upstate New York, and we had a big garden, and, you know, my mom would be like, all right, go outside and pick lettuce for dinner, or dig up potatoes, or that kind of stuff. And I always loved cooking because it was like an arts and crafts project with something to eat at the end. And I just loved, also, I loved still to this day, the hospitality aspect of it. I love setting a beautiful table. I love seeing people when they first start eating. And I always say, comedians work for the laughs, but chefs work for the head bobs, because it's like when people eat something they like, they're like, they're head bobs. And so even from a distance, like when I was working in restaurants and stuff, you could see when people liked stuff because you get the head bob. Or the first, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of dinner is quiet because everyone's eating. I'm like, yes.
Yes. You know, that's a good sign.
I always say that as a chef, I'm a professional pleasure provider. And I love that.
I love that, too. You mentioned, you know, growing up upstate New York. And then I know you studied in Italy as well. How did that experience kind of also set that foundation for what we see now?
You know, growing up in a tiny little town, I didn't have exposure to so many like different types of food and that kind of stuff. So I knew when I was graduating from culinary school that it was really important to travel and to learn everything I could about cultures and food through traveling. So I graduated from the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, mm-hmm. and I found this school program to go to Italy for a year. So it was 3 months of school, and then I spent the rest of the year working in restaurants for free in Umbria, Tuscany, and Liguria. I mean, like, we took it out in trade. They had to house me and feed me, but I worked for them. But really, when I went to Italy, I mean, being from outside of Syracuse, New York, to me, Italian food was like chicken parm or something like that. And, you know, like, I remember one time as a kid, my dad took us to this restaurant, and he was like, now, kids, this is a really fancy restaurant. It's called an ristorante. And the salad that we're going to have before we eat is called an antipasto. And it was like just a, you know, like a red sauce kind of place. And so So when I got to Italy, I was like, oh my gosh, this food is nothing that I know of Italian food. And I love it so much more than I ever knew that I could. And it was just, you know, the simplicity of it, the pristine ingredients, the seasonality of it, the cooking techniques about, you know, like, rustic Italian food to me is not easy to do well because there's really no place to hide. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if your ingredients and your cooking techniques aren't on point, it's a glaring mistake. And to me, that was just thrilling. And it's just the, you know, and sometimes people think that rustic is another word for sloppy. And I'm like, oh, no. If that's what you think, you just don't get it. So I love to do rustic Italian food because to me, it's so soulful. That's where, you know, like the soul in the food comes from.
I love that. Is there a specific dish that you like that brings you back to that time in Italy where you're like, that is where I fell in love with this cuisine?
Oh my gosh. I mean, like I had a million of those, but it all came wildly into focus for me was when I was working at this little tiny restaurant in Tuscany, and it was a 30 seat restaurant in a town of 60 people. So it was like out in the middle of nowhere, like surrounded by olive groves and vineyards and stuff. And we had been working there for a while. It was a husband and wife that ran the restaurant, and the wife was the chef and the husband ran the dining room, and he was a nutty Tuscan man. But we had been there for a while, and so we were thinking, all right, let's move on to another place to see a different kind of food and whatever. And they kept saying, like, aspetta l'olio nuovo, like, wait for the new oil. And I'm like, the new oil? What the hell is this all about? Like, the new oil. So the day that the Frantoio opened, which is the olive press in the little town, I mean, all that was in the town was clearly a church. Every town in Italy has a church, mm-hmm. a cafe to get coffee, and this restaurant and an olive press. So we went to the Frantoio the day it opened, and we brought bread that we burned with us on the fire in the restaurant and walked across town, which was like across the street, like 10 feet away. And right as freshly pressed Tuscan olive oil was coming out of the centrifuge, we tasted it on this warm bread, and you could feel it just going down the side of your face, and it was such a beautiful, pristine flavor. And it's like you could feel thousands of years of history and just the delightfulness of it. And I was like, all right, I get it now. I get what the Italian food just feel and the soul is about it.
I mean, you painted such a beautiful picture. I felt like I was right there with you in Italy. And I know that you kind of went back to your roots at the beginning of quarantine, and you went upstate. You're with your family, with a big group of people. What was that experience like?
Well, yes, it was a big group of people. It was myself, my now fiance. We actually got engaged when we were up there, which was very exciting. My fiance's son, my mom, who lives up there, my sister who lives up there, her three children and her boyfriend. So there was nine of us all together.
Wow.
Yes. And it was quite an experience because there were four teenagers, and I have not lived with a teenager since I was one. So that was a little eye opening. And my two nieces who are in high school decided that that was going to be the time that they were going to go vegan. Mm. And I'm like, oh, great. Super. And my mom is gluten free. So to cook dinner every night for nine of us with a couple of special diets in a tiny town that doesn't have access to, you know, like my big trip every day was like, okay, I get to go to the grocery store, and we have two grocery stores in town. And I was like, should I go to Aldi or Tops? Tops or Aldi? Or if it was a big day, I'd go to both.
Oh.
Everyone was like, do you want me to go with you? And I'm like, no! No, this is my alone time.
That was your time. Kind of by the way, congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you.
I heard that you guys met on Bumble and he did not know you were a chef. So what was his reaction when he found out?
Well, so yes, we did meet on Bumble. And I mean, Stuart had known that I was a chef because I had that in my profile. Mm. But he did not really know, like, about the whole Food Network thing. Mm. And he didn't know that, you know, I was like sort of a celebrity chef, I guess. And so that was a little eye opening to him. But I mean, he was like, oh, wow. All right. Okay. That's what this is all about. And, you know, in our first couple of dates, you know, when we were out walking along the street and, you know, people would stop and ask for a picture. And he was like, oh, wow. All right. This is really what this is all about. And I was like, well, you know, I was kind of trying to tell you, but you know, you don't want to sound oh, well, you know, I'm this famous person, blah, 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 you know, like kind of stuff. I was like, he'll suss that out himself. And so he gets it, but it's funny because he always talks about, like, he's like, to me, you're just Anne.
Aww,
and so then, you know, it goes from Anne to, like, you know, then to work mode where it's Anne Burrell, that kind of stuff.
And I know on Bumble, the girl has to make the first move, right? So what drew you to him initially? And what was your opening line?
Well, what drew me to him, A, was that he's very cute. Mm-hmm. He didn't have that many pictures. He only had 3 pictures, but he had a really friendly smile. And then it said that he was British. And I was like, oh, cha-ching, right there. I am a little bit of an Anglophile, I will say. And he said, also, I'm the father of a wonderful, I think Javi was 13 at the time or something. And I was like, oh, he just seems really nice.
Mm.
And I was like, ooh, and he's age appropriate. So there we go. Perfect. And so my opening line was, hi, with a lot of eyes and a lot of exclamation points. Nice to meet-ish you. And I guess that was the line that did it.
All right. Well, I mean, here we are. You're now engaged. And yeah, I mean, it's a modern day love story. So I love hearing all that. I met my boyfriend on Instagram. So basically the same thing.
Right. You know, and I like to call Stuart my Prince Charming.
Aww,
he really is.
That's so sweet. But I do understand that you have more than just one love to your life. Your cats. We talked about this.
I thought you were going to say the Rangers.
Oh, well, that too. Right. No, I was talking about your cats, Marsha and Nancy, right?
Marsha and Nancy, yes. Their full names are Nutty Nancy Crazy Pants and Masha. And they really do both live up to their names.
Really?
But they are Maine Coon cats, which I guess has sort of become the official cat breed of the Food Network.
Yes.
I got Nancy, and Bobby Flay and I were doing a season of Worst Cooks together, and I showed him a picture of Nancy, and he was like, oh my God, I've been wanting a cat. And he'd been wanting a cat for a long time. So I put him in touch with the breeder, and that's where he got Nacho from.
Oh.
And he
copied you.
Exactly. But I mean, but he always gives me props for that, and he's like, you know, you connected me with one of the best things in my life, which are my cats. So, and Maine Coons are just, I mean, they're so fun and entertaining and lovely and huge. And yes, I spend my life attached to a lint roller, but it's all worth it.
It is. I'm a cat person as well, so I can relate. I feel like I'm turning this into a cat podcast because I feel like I ask every guest about their cats, but I do love hearing about it. And I love to know that, you know, Anne Burrell was first and Nacho Flay is in this world because of Anne Burrell. So,
right. Exactly. But Bobby's always very good at giving props about that.
Yes. Well, this has been so much fun. Before I let you go, we always ask our guests the same question at the very end of our podcast interviews. What would be on your menu for your perfect food day? So we're talking breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert. There's basically no rules. You can time travel. You can spend however much money you want. You can be served by another chef. You can cook your own meals or some of your, I mean, basically there's no rules.
Wow. All right. This is a toughie. Let's see. For breakfast, and so, you know, because we're just imagining all this, and so I'm going to go big here. Mm. We're not, the calories aren't real.
No.
So I would start off breakfast with a pain au chocolat, like a chocolate-filled croissant, and then I would have, like, a very lovely French rolled omelet with some Gruyere cheese in there and maybe some asparagus.
Yum.
And clearly then I would have, like, you know, big fat bacon sausage and all that of stuff course. On the side, which is not part of the French petit déjeuner. That's the big girl déjeuner.
That's the American side coming in.
Yes, but I love a lovely French rolled omelet. Fresh squeezed orange juice, maybe with a little shot of something, you know, fun in there, like champagne or vodka.
Oh, yeah. maybe both.
Right. And then for lunch, I would have the most perfect BLT sandwich with, like, juicy summer tomatoes that you can sort of still feel the sun on and really cold iceberg lettuce. The perfectly crisped bacon, you know, that's, like, crunchy but not too crunchy. Mm-hmm. And bread that's toasted that is crunchy but still pliable so you don't tear up the inside of your mouth. And that would be accompanied by perfectly done French fries, like perfect frites, and accompanied by a chili Sancerre, a little chili white wine in there. And then for dinner, we would take a trip to Italy. So either Piedmont or Tuscany, maybe Piedmont, so we could have some of those, a lot of those really delicious wines from there.
Yes. You know,
Barolo, Barbaresco, but, you know, Tuscany has some amazing wines as well. So either one of those places wouldn't be bad for me. And we would start off with, like, several antipasti courses of whatever was in season. Then we would go into our pasta courses, which I would love some agnolotti del Plin, very classic Piemontese tiny little ravioli that are filled with a mixture of, like, chicken and rabbit and pork and bound together with a little bit of rice. And then in a butter and sage sauce with shaved white truffles. And then we would go into, if we were in Tuscany, we would be having one of my favorite pasta shapes ever, which would be peachy pasta, which are really thick, chewy ropes of pasta with a really lovely big ragu, like whether it's like a lamb or a wild boar, or even just a straight up beef ragu, all of that, and perfectly finished with Tuscan olive oil and Parmesan cheese. And then, honestly, for the secondi, that, I don't even know, like, just something super yummy and delicious. Maybe we'd have a fish course of pesce all'acqua pasta, so it's like fish in crazy water, and then maybe, I don't know, like some porchetta or something, I don't know, something very classic Italian. And then we would finish it up with probably a really lovely, like, olive oil cake, or and I haven't had it in years, and I always think to make it in the summer, and I never really do, but which is very simple, which is called Macedonia, which is, it's like Italian fruit cocktail. So it's like all kinds of like seasonal fruit soaked in a very juicy, it's almost like in its own water, really, but a lemon simple syrup, and then with a little scoop of lemon sorbet or gelato in there. So it's like juicy and it's fresh and it's cold and it's so delicious.
Wow. I'm like floored right now. I need to like wipe up all of the drool off of my computer keyboard because that was probably the most like thoughtful and complete and just elaborate answer that we've ever received for that question. So,
Goody.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a perfect way to go out on this interview. But wow, that was incredible. I'm in awe.
Oh, actually, you know what? For dessert, I would have cake.
Okay.
Like birthday cake.
Oh, you know, like classic.
From scratch yellow cake with a nice thick like chocolate buttercream all over it. And yeah, maybe even some sprinkles on the outside.
Yeah, but why not?
I love a really moist from scratch cake, and you never really find those anywhere. Ugh. But I love them.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love everything that you just said. So I have to figure it out now what I'm going to eat for dinner that will even try to compete with any of those dishes that you described. But thank you so much again for taking the time. I know you're a very busy lady, but so much enjoyed talking to you about all of your projects and your time in Italy and obviously your perfect food day, which is now going to be a goal of mine. So until we can attend a Rangers game together, I will say goodbye. And thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, this was a delightful conversation, Jamie. Thanks so much for having me. And yes, I promise, sooner rather than later, we will do that Rangers game.
We will do it. All right. Mark it on the calendar. Anne Burrell, always a delight. I loved hearing the story about her cats and how they kind of led to the existence of Nacho Flay in the Food Network family. I was transported to Italy during both her talk about that and her favorite food day, which she just painted this gorgeous picture of food for a few minutes. I was just in awe, and I cannot wait to travel again. I've been to Italy, but it has been way too long, so I definitely need to get back there as well. Of course, you can catch new episodes of Worst Cooks in America Sunday nights at 9, 8 Central on Food Network and streaming now on Discovery Plus. And of course, you can see more from her adorable cats and incredible life and her hashtagging on Instagram at Chef Anne Burrell. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please leave us a 5-star rating and review if you haven't already. Please subscribe. And as always, thank you so much for listening. We will catch you foodies next Friday for another episode of Food Network Obsessed.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.